Welcome to Beyond the Bedroom. I am your host, Natalie, and I'm so thrilled to be bringing you this episode of my little podcast. Now, before we start, and as always, remember that this is not an alternative for professional therapy. So if you or someone that you love needs help, contact me for expert guidance or reach out to another therapist in your local area. Over the next 8 episodes, we'll unpack the challenges, shifts, and emerging trends in love, intimacy, relationships, faith, culture, and absolutely everything in between. So let's get right into it. Welcome back to Beyond the Bedroom. You're here with me, Natalie, and we're diving into episode 4 of season 1. Today's question is a juicy one. The commitment question. Are long-term relationships overrated? Let's be honest, commitment used to be the end goal and marriage the gold standard. But more and more people are asking, is long-term love really all it's cracked up to be? Or are we just clinging to an outdated ideal that no longer fits the lives we're living? In this episode, I'm shaking the table a bit and exploring why commitment is under fire, what's rising in its place, and whether there's still something sacred about sticking it out with one person for the long haul. Now, I know a few episodes ago I spoke about the myth of the one, but bear with me because this is slightly different. The decline of marriage and the rise of alternatives. I want to start with the numbers because the stats are suggesting what some people are quietly thinking. Marriage might be losing its shine. Marriage rates in the UK have dropped by 35% since 1972. While cohabitation has shot up by 144% in the past 25 years, according to an ONS survey in 2023. In places like Sweden and Norway, almost half of all couples live together without ever marrying. And in the US, only 50% of adults are married, down from 72% in 1960, according to Pew Research in 2023. Clearly, people are redefining commitment, or walking away from it altogether. So why the shift? Well, let's name it. Money, for one. The average UK wedding costs a jaw-dropping £18,400. That's a down payment on a house, or a year of travel for those commuting to London. But it's more than that. Many millennials and Gen Zers are choosing self over sacrifice, prioritizing independence, growth, and purpose over tying the knot. And let's not forget the fear factor. Fear of divorce, failure, or falling out of love. With 42% of UK marriages ending in divorce and second marriages failing at the rate of 67%, it's no wonder commitment looks more like a gamble than a goal. But beneath the statistics, something more personal is stirring. People are tired. Tired of love that doesn't last, of relationships that feel like obligation, and of trying to make traditional models work in non-traditional lives. For many, it's not rebellion, it's reckoning. Then there's the rise of non-traditional relationships. Cohabitation without marriage is fast becoming the norm. Living apart together, or LAT, offers closeness without the constant cohabitation. Ethical non-monogamy, or ENM, is no longer a taboo. 1 in 5 young adults in the UK are open to non-monogamous relationships, according to a YouGov poll in 2023. Polyamory and relationship anarchy are gaining traction, especially among those tired of the traditional scripts. We're not just asking who we want to love, we're asking how we want to do it. Is commitment still fulfilling, then? Let's strip it back. What is commitment, really? In psychology, commitment is often seen as a balance between dedication, you want to be there, and constraint, external factors that keep you there. Ideally, relationships are built on both desire and duty. Esther Perel says, commitment is choosing someone again and again, even when the excitement fades. And John Gottman reminds us that successful commitment requires active effort and mutual growth, not just sticking around out of habit. According to the 1980 investment model, People stay in relationships when three things are in place. Satisfaction. We're happy in the relationship. Alternatives. We don't see any better options. Investment. We've already poured in time, effort, and emotional energy. But here's the real tea. Commitment isn't just psychological, it's cultural. In the West, we expect our partners to be everything. Emotionally supportive, sexually compatible, spiritually aligned, growth-oriented, and fiercely independent, all while giving a space. That's a tall order. Meanwhile, in many Asian, Middle Eastern, and traditional cultures, commitment is still deeply tied to family duty, religion, or societal expectation. And let's not forget, we're living longer. In 1900, the average UK life expectancy was 47 years. Today, it's 81. That's a long time to love one person, especially when we're evolving every decade. So maybe the issue isn't with commitment itself. Maybe the tension is between the depth we crave and the freedom that we fear losing. Maybe it's not about giving up on love, but that we're trying to love in ways that are more honest, more adaptive, and sometimes more complicated. And maybe the real question we're asking and wrestling with is commitment broken? Or is the script that we've inherited no longer enough? Should we then rethink commitment? Maybe it's not commitment itself that's changing, but our relationship with it. Maybe we're not rejecting commitment, but redefining what it asks of us. Or maybe we're just finally being honest about how complex it really is. So what if, instead of clinging to a rigid, one-size-fits-all model, we embrace the idea of flexible commitment? Something alive, responsive, evolving. Something more like us. One idea I often suggest to clients is the concept of renewable relationship contracts, where couples intentionally revisit their commitments at key life junctures. For example, after having children, facing illness, surviving rupture or grief, entering new careers, or simply aging into new versions of themselves. It's like giving the relationship a regular refresh, emotionally, practically, and yes, even contractually. That, to me, is real commitment. Not staying the same, but staying engaged. Not giving up, but choosing to grow together. And yes, for some, that growth may lead to open relationships or serial monogamy, pathways that reflect their evolving needs and values. But again, we have to ask, are we evolving or escaping? Because the deeper question underneath it all remains, what is the role of commitment in a world that prizes constant change? Maybe commitment doesn't have to mean one lifelong relationship. For some, it might look like several deeply meaningful chapters with different people over time, each relationship significant, formative, and in its own way, committed. But what's driving this shift? We're living in a time where personal fulfillment, autonomy, and self-actualization sit at the top of the value ladder. Commitment, by contrast, asks for surrender. It asks us to hold steady in moments that feel inconvenient, uncertain, and even boring. And honestly, that can feel at odds with the culture we're in. We're sold the idea that we should never settle, not in careers, not in fashion, and definitely not in partners. We swipe, we scroll, and sample our way through options like a menu, always asking, what else is out there? And in that climate, the very concept of staying, of choosing the same person over and over, can feel like a threat to our personal evolution. Then we bring in conscious uncoupling, made popular by Gwyneth Paltrow. The idea that relationships can end with intention, grace, and even love still intact. That's not necessarily failure. In fact, for many people, it's part of emotional maturity, a kind of growth that doesn't require permanence to feel purposeful. But here's a question that's been rattling in my mind for a while, and maybe yours too. If we're struggling to commit to one person, how does committing to many become the solution? Is that really commitment or just a clever rebrand of something else entirely? Now, I'm not here to judge, so bear with me, don't come at me. ENM, or ethical non-monogamy, works really well for some people. And when it's done with transparency, integrity, and intention, it can absolutely create safety and meaningful connections. But I think we need to pause and ask, are we expanding the definition of commitment, or are we diluting it? Is this the evolution of love, or is it the avoidance of the hard stuff? Is it true freedom, or is it fear of depth dressed up as liberation? Because here's the thing, more choice doesn't always equal more clarity. In fact, the more options we have, the more anxious and less committed we often become. Sometimes the quest for infinite possibility robs us of the courage to choose anything at all. And beneath it all, maybe we need to ask a deeper, more uncomfortable question. Is our discomfort with long-term commitment actually a discomfort with truly being seen? Flaws, fears, fragility, and all? Because nothing mirrors us back to ourselves quite like staying with someone through seasons of change. Maybe that's what we're really avoiding. Not commitment, but intimacy, vulnerability, the art and discipline of staying. Because in its purest form, commitment isn't about possession or permanence. It's about choosing someone again and again, even when they see you at the worst, even when your fantasy has worn thin. So what does it really take to make long-term love, or love at all, work in today's world? It takes communication that is honest and consistent. It takes a deep respect for autonomy within connection and regular check-ins, not just about the relationship, but about personal growth, shifting desires, and evolving seasons. Commitment isn't dead. But maybe it's no longer about ticking the box of marriage or clinging to outdated roles. Maybe it's about intentionality over eternity, about depth over duration, about staying present, even when, and especially when it's not easy. And maybe, just maybe, real growth doesn't come from reinventing ourselves with a new partner every few years, but from staying long enough to evolve within the same relationship, to let love mature, deepen, and stretch us into better, fuller versions of ourselves. How do we then do commitment well? What if you do want to commit? Not out of pressure or tradition, but from a place of clarity. How do you make it healthy, sustainable, and fulfilling? First, let's be honest. Commitment isn't easy. It takes courage, vulnerability, a willingness to be seen and to stay even when it's uncomfortable. Not everybody has had commitment modeled well either, so often we enter into it with fear, fantasy, or confusion. And yet, something in us still longs for deep, anchored connection. So before anything else, start by getting honest with yourself. What does commitment mean to and for you? Not your parents, not your religion, not social media, not AI, you. Once you've established that, begin to build a relationship around intentional communication. Not just small talk or surface updates, but real conversations that risk honesty. Build a relationship around mutual personal growth, where both people are invested in becoming better versions of themselves, individually and together. Build a relationship that makes space for individuality, because love shouldn't come at the cost of your identity. Then try implementing regular check-ins, monthly, quarterly, or even annually or more often if you want, where you take a step back and ask, are we still growing together? What's working? What needs attention? What season are we in? Don't be afraid to design your relationship intentionally, whether that's traditional marriage, a hybrid model, or something fluid that evolves with you. The key is that it reflects you, not a script that someone else has handed you. And remember, there's no one right way to love. But there is such a thing as love done consciously, courageously, and with care. In closing, I want to leave some thoughts with you. Commitment isn't obsolete, but it might be evolving. It's no longer about ticking the box of marriage or staying for the sake of it. It's about creating a relationship that feels aligned, nourishing, and deeply real, even if that looks different from what you were taught. The truth is, we're not just questioning how we commit, we're questioning why. We're craving love that grows with us, that allows for both closeness and freedom, that challenges us, not just comforts us. And maybe, just maybe, we're being invited to see commitment not as a cage, but as a container, a sacred space that stretches us, refines us, and yes, that transforms us. So now I'm turning the question over to you. Are we moving toward a commitment-free society, or are we simply rewriting the rules to meet the complexity of modern life? Is forever still the point, or is flexibility the new fidelity? It's your turn now to go beyond the bedroom. Maybe start with a journal prompt. What does commitment mean to and for you today? Is that shaped more by your lived experience or by inherited beliefs from culture, society, religion, or family? And here's a conversation starter. If you have a partner, ask them or take a moment with yourself. How have your own views on commitment changed over time? What still feels true and what's evolving? And if this episode has stirred something in you, I would love to hear it. Share your reflections on social media and tag me at LTAS Therapy, because the most important conversations are the ones that we actually have. And join me for the next episode, Breakups, Divorce, and the Art of Letting Go. I'll get honest about why breakups hurt so much, how to heal with intention, and when to fight for love versus when to gracefully let go. Will you join me? If you like what you've heard so far, please subscribe, rate, and review Beyond the Bedroom. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please share it with a friend so that I can continue to bring these important conversations to life. Why don't you follow me on social media? My handle is at LTAS Therapy. That's at LTAS Therapy. For those in the know, that's Let's Talk About Sex. And subscribe for behind-the-scenes thoughts and discussions on my B-side. I'll catch you next time as we continue rethinking modern love. But until then, let's talk about it.